Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace. Psalm 12, 6. Proverbs 5, 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his tracks. Proverbs 5, 21. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, 5. Will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 21. Exodus, chapter 12, verse 21. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to open our hearts and minds to the eternal Word of God. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to realize that we can find, as we study the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ in every book of the Bible, specifically now, Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. We are looking today at the fact that we find Jesus in the book of Exodus, and that's the reason why we've asked you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 21. Before we begin our study, may we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful that we have this magnificent book, the Word of God, inspired, magnificently given to us. We stand in need today of the message of this wonderful book that would make us what we ought to be in the brief years that you allow us on this earth. We're here because of your wonderful plan. Our life is not an accident. It is on purpose. You've placed us here. You have a reason for our existence. And we're thankful that we can open our hearts and minds and find that magnificent design in the wonderful Word of God. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ consistently and faithfully on a day-by-day basis. And we thank you over and over again that you've blessed us all so richly and that we're your members, the members of your family by grace. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. And while we're here, we realize that you have a purpose and a reason for our being here. So help us to determine every day that we're going to be in the very heart and center of your will for us. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the years, I've learned some things. I'm still learning, as all of you know. One of the things that I've learned is that it pays to repeat some things. And so just in case you've heard some of this information, I just want you to know that I'm doing it on purpose. And so, Jesus in every book of the Bible. The entire Bible is composed of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. These books unveil for us where we came from, where we're going, and how to live and please God. The Bible is the greatest of all letters, and from it emerged the Judeo-Christian culture. We must realize that when people turn from the inspired Word of God, a slippery downhill slide will result. God's Word, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation, was penned by luminary personalities, men like Moses, the lawgiver, Isaiah, prophet and great evangelist, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who shed tears over Jerusalem. David, king and psalmist, Daniel, the premier prophet who gave us the backbone of prophecy, Peter, intimate companion to the solid rock Jesus, James, the half-brother of our Lord, John, the beloved apostle in Christ's inner circle, and the apostle Paul, the most brilliant theologian and faithful missionary, and even a courageous martyr. No matter where you find yourself in the Word of God, you will discover that no matter where you find any of these individuals mentioned, Whatever book of the Bible you find them, Jesus will be the major character, and God's purpose and plan will be of utmost importance. That's the reason why we come today to the study Jesus found in the book of Exodus. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that we have not done everything that needs to be done in relationship to the teaching of Jesus found in the book of Genesis. But I need to remind you of some interesting facts of the Old Testament book of Genesis. First of all, we've discovered Jesus as the A to Z. We remember that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." We have two letters there of the Greek language, the first letter and the last letter of the alphabet. We have the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus said that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. But when you go to the book of Genesis and you find yourself in the very first verse and you count the words 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth word, which is not really a word, it is the first and last letter of the alphabet in the Hebrew language, which is so magnificent. And so you see on the screen that we have Aleph and Tav. So this is telling me, and this is wonderful to discover, that the Bible itself, though it's not translated in any of your translations, you will find that the fourth word in the first verse of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is the first and last letter of the alphabet in the Hebrew language. You will also discover Jesus presented by way of Adam 1 and Adam 2 in relationship to marriage. When you go to the third chapter of the book of Genesis, you will discover that Jesus is the seed of a woman. When you go to chapter 12 of Genesis and chapter 17 and chapter 28, you will see the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you go to the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, you will find Jesus, the Lion of Judah. You will find in Genesis 14, typified in the person of Melchizedek. When you go to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, you will find that sacrifice of Isaac, the sacrificed son, which is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth for the specific purpose of going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world. When you go to the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, you will find Joseph, a rejected brother. Now, all of you are able to see that I have not been able to spend a lot of time, even though we will come back in the next session to a little reference to the book of Genesis. But I want you to see that we find Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. And I've given you some magnificent illustrations here. And so I'm seeing you're copying rapidly. And I don't want to be ugly to you and remove this before you have taken these down. So I'm trying to talk a little bit longer so that you'll be able to take these. I see diligent students out there writing rapidly, and that's fine. But I want you to know, just in case you miss it, please don't punch any panic buttons. We'll put this on the internet and you'll be able to have it. So I'm telling you that we find Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. And I've already emphasized the fact in just a brief way, Jesus found in the book of Genesis. But now we come to the book of Exodus. I would encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Exodus. Do you find Jesus in the book of Exodus? The Passover lamb. So we discover then that we have to turn to various passages in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Our specific verse for today is 12:21. You will see that this verse has been presented for you in the English translation. On the back of your bulletin, you will see it in the translation German. And Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, must have been a southerner, y'all go out and catch you by size of your tribe's sheep and kill the Passover. Now, you can take a few moments if you want to and look at that German translation. I thought it was very interesting. I always appreciate the translation in the German. It's on the back of your bulletin for today. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to look with me at these verses, beginning with Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of the months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'Oh, the tenth of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's households, a lamb for each household.' Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb." Now we're looking at Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. "Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight." Verse 7, "Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it." You've been following along, and we read for you Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Now we skip over to our verse for today, verse 21. "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families, and slay the Passover lamb.'" Slay the Passover lamb. I'm going to go ahead and read, because I've instructed myself to do so, from verse 21 on down through a few other verses. "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the doorpost. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until the morning." Verse 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." I'm sure that you're able to see that I've read to you the word Passover. And then I've read the word Passover. I'm trying to let you see something that perhaps you do not see if you just have a casual reading. "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and for your children forever. And it will come about when you enter the land, when the Lord will give you, as he's promised, that you shall observe this rite. And it will come about when your children will say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?' that you will say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes.' And the people bowed low and worshiped." I'm trying to slow down my reading to let you see how fantastic this is. When the question is asked by the children, "What does this all mean?" you will say, "It's a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes." And the people bowed low and worshiped. I'm going to give you very rapidly today in this first session some emphases in relationship to the Passover. The Passover lamb of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, 21 and following. Here we see Jesus, our Passover lamb. When I started studying this, realizing that there's so much information here that I need to share with you, and how fantastic this is, I felt like what I needed to say, first of all, grasp, grasp, grasp the meaning. Because it's possible for us to read verses. It's possible for us to read chapters of the Word of God and not literally grasp what God is saying to us. Number one, the Passover lamb was the animal that God directed the Israelites to use as a sacrifice in Egypt. On the night, God struck down the firstborn sons of every household. Now I realize that's a long sentence, but I'm trying to lay a foundation. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 29, we read all about this. The Passover lamb was the animal God directed the Israelites to use as a sacrifice in Egypt. On the night, God struck down the firstborn sons of every household. Number two, this was the last final plague that God issued against Pharaoh. And it led, of course, as all of us know, to Pharaoh releasing the Israelites from slavery, as presented as to us in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. After that frightful night, God instructed the Israelites to observe the Passover feast as a lasting memorial. Let me repeat what we have in number 2. You'll notice that this was the last final plague God issued against Pharaoh, and it led to Pharaoh releasing the Israelites from slavery, found in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. After that frightful night, God instructed the Israelites to observe the Passover feast, as a lasting memorial in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. You're taking abbreviated notes, I know, but let's move along. God instructed every household of the Israelite people to select a year-old male lamb that didn't have any defects. This is presented to us in Exodus 12, 5, Leviticus 22, 20, and 21. The head of the household then was to slaughter the lamb at twilight, taking care that none of the bones would be broken, and apply some of its blood to the tops and sides of the door frame of the house. I want you to get a mental picture of what's taking place here. The lamb was then to be roasted and eaten. That's found in Exodus chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. What we're seeing here is that God gave specific instructions as to how the Israelites were to eat the lamb. I was amazed when I found this. It's amazing to me that I have been studying the Bible for many, many years, and I'm continually finding new things. That's the way it ought to be. I'm glad to tell you that I don't know everything. I thought you might realize that I might. But I'm going to inform you that I don't, because I realize that every time I sit and I open this book, it is a brand new book for me, just as it should be for every individual. I've discovered something right here. We discover that God gave specific instructions as to how the Israelites were to eat the lamb. And I read this. It said, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. I want to pause for a moment and let you see what the scripture does to us. Sometimes it seems like it just grows large. The letters grow large. And then they seem, don't think I'm crazy now, they seem to just jump out and grasp you. And you begin to see things that you've never seen before. You've read it many times. I've read this, I'm sure, many, many times. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Exodus 12, 11. But what we find is that this is a reference to a passage of Scripture which we find in Paul's writings to the book of, to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians 6, 14. The individuals in the Old Testament had to be ready. You and I have to be ready. We never know when God will give us an opportunity to present the wonderful gospel of salvation. And we must be equipped at all times. cleanse of sin, fill the Holy Spirit, walking in right relationship with God. And when God sets up that divine appointment, we are to be ready. That's what this is saying. Could I read it to you again? Have yourself ready with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. What this is saying to us today is, first of all, be in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Cleanse of sin. Fill the Holy Spirit. Have yourself captivated and saturated with the person of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Know the plan of salvation. And be ready. When God sets up that divine appointment, you be ready. You'll never handle it in the same way every time you meet an individual. The other day, for instance, I said to a person when I gave them a coin and they looked at that, where will you spend eternity? On the other side, John 3:16, the lady said to me, "Whew, I hope I'm ready." Okay, what does that mean? That means that there are people who do not know if they're for sure if they're ready. You and I have the responsibility of giving out the good news of salvation, and we're seeing it here in this beautiful picture of the Passover lamb. Now, let's move along. God said that when he saw the lamb's blood on the door frame of the house, he would pass over that home and not permit the destroyer. That's found in Exodus 12:23. God said that when he saw the lamb's blood on the door frame of each house, he would pass over the Passover lamb. He would pass over that home and not permit the destroyer to enter. Any home without the blood of the lamb would have their firstborn struck down that very night. And this is described for us in Exodus 12, 12 and 13. I'm moving rapidly, but I want you to see. Number five, here we see Jesus. A lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ slain from the foundation of the world illustrates not only that he was foreordained to be slain, but also that the efficacy or the beneficial effects of that death is the same as if that sacrifice had been made before the creation of the world. Are you following me? Are you seeing what we're putting down here for you to be able to get a taste? I'm saying again, grasp it. Grasp it. Don't let this miss you. Don't live your life and let this not be a part of your knowledge. Here we see Jesus, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ slain from the foundation of the world illustrates not only that he was foreordained to be slain, but also that the efficacy or the beneficial effects of that death is the same as if the sacrifice had been made before the creation of the world. You've got to follow that through. You've got to understand that in the eternal ages past, members of the Godhead, deity 1, 2, and 3, how fantastic. They discussed your problem and mine. And deity 2 said in the eternal ages past, "Father, I'll go to the earth. I'll become the God-man. I will die for each individual. I'll give myself. And the reason I'm going to do this is because there's no other way of salvation other than through the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb." Yeah. Old Testament saints are washed clean as we are washed clean today. We've had people ask the question, how were the Old Testament people saved? Well, my question to you is, how were you saved? By faith alone in Christ alone. So the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice is not limited by time. You can take yourself and run through the timeline from Genesis 1:1, the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age, all of this. You could go all the way to the end. You see the eternal ages past, the eternal ages future, and Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Now, some of you are taking notes, and I see you taking them rapidly. I'm still going to be try to be nice to you. I will not try to go so rapidly that you cannot at least take down the references. You'll not be able to take down every word I say. The efficacy of Christ's sacrifice is not limited in time. In other words, it's not only for the age of the Gentiles, not only for the age of Israel, not only for the church age, on down the line you can go. 1 Peter 1:18, 19 and 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. I want you to realize how fantastic the subject of the blood is in the Word of God, and how confused people are in relationship to that magnificent subject. This morning I took time out to just go and check my notes, and I realize I have page after page of magnificent information dealing with the blood of Jesus Christ. Perhaps I ought to take a month or two or a year or two to share that information with you. But I want you to know, right here we see it presented. And people don't understand, they cannot comprehend how fantastic it is to see the Passover lamb. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Look on. For who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. What I see here is something so unique. The salvation through Jesus Christ is applicable, no matter what point of time a person is in history. Do you follow that? You see what I'm saying? Go back to the time of Genesis 1:1. Go through the book of Exodus. Go through Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Go on through all of these and get into the New Testament. Follow yourself all the way to the last book and find yourself in 96 AD and ask yourself the question, what did Jesus do for me? Whatever particular time you find yourself. Notice, if you will, the last words of this verse of Scripture, verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Can you see how much fun it is to preach? This is so fantastic, but let's move along. Number 6, we have the Passover lamb in the Old Testament as the consummate Passover lamb. Jesus of the New Testament, when you find the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian believers, for Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Now, why would Paul say anything like that? Because I think Paul knew something about the Old Testament, don't you? So we discover in 1 Corinthians 5:7 that the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian believers, and they were a confused bunch, as you all know, he says to them, for Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Roman numeral 7. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, the Scripture says, a lamb without blemish or defect. Could I stop you and remind you that Jesus Christ was virgin conceived and virgin born? Could I remind you that Jesus lived for those years on this earth, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin? Could I remind you that the one person who went to the cross and died for the sins of the world was the only one qualified to do that because he was pure, sinless, perfect? Lamb without blemish or defect. This Bible is a fantastic book. Do you realize that? We find it over and over and over again that Jesus is found in every book of the Bible, found in every book of the Old Testament. We've analyzed a little bit about Genesis. Now we could spend a lot more time in the book of Exodus. But Exodus 12:5, Jesus, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. 1 Peter 1:19 says, Jesus is qualified to be called the one without blemish. What am I saying today? I'm telling you that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the only one person who is qualified to give himself for the sins of mankind. Number 8, just as the Passover lamb's blood was applied, it caused the destroyer to pass over each household. Christ, our sacrifice, causes judgment to pass over sinners and give eternal life. Oh, how fantastic this is. I want you to see how wonderful and marvelous this is. We discover again, and I'm going to go back to let you see the first part of number 8. Just as the Passover lamb's applied blood caused the destroyer to pass over each household, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ causes judgment to pass over sinners and give eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, somehow I wish that each one of us could just somehow put an invisible circle around self and forget a person about the person who sits to the right or left, front or back of you, and say, inside of this circle, the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to die for me. I've accepted Him. He's accepted me. And I have life eternal. How fantastic that is. You shouldn't be thinking others about others right now. Think about yourself for just a few moments and realize that the Passover lamb, Christ's sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, causes the judgment to pass over sinners, pass over me, and give eternal life. Number 9. As the first Passover marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery, so the death of Christ marks our release from the slavery of sin. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that when I'm typing this all out, I see so many wonderful things. I just want to stand up in my office and just preach. But I don't want Joyce to just only hear me. I want you to hear me too. So I want you to see, I'm saying, number 9, as the first Passover marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery, the death of Christ marks our release from the slave market of sin. As the first Passover was to be held in remembrance as an annual feast, so Christians are to be memorialized, and we're to memorialize the Lord's death in communion until He comes. That's the reason why we observe the Lord's table. It is a reminder of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Number 10, the last point. The Old Testament Passover lamb, although a reality at that time, was a foreshadowing of the better and final Passover lamb. We could spend hours talking about this, but let's look at it. The Old Testament Passover lamb, a reality at that time, was a mere foreshadowing of the better and final Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His sinless life and sacrificial death, Jesus Christ became the only one capable of giving people a way to escape death and a sure hope of eternal life. These verses of Scripture are so powerful in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. What they say to us is, we must realize that through His sinless life, the sinless life of Jesus Christ, and through His sacrificial death, the Lord Jesus Christ became the only one capable of giving people a way of escape of death and sure hope of eternal life. What we're going to say to you is, Jesus is the answer. Now, unless I get too carried away, let me give you some more points before we go for break. When we come to the book of Exodus, there are other things. We find Moses, the deliverer, in Exodus chapters 1 through 15. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, we find manna from heaven in Exodus chapter 16. In the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, in the 17th chapter, we see the rock struck at Horeb. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, we see Jesus, the loud trumpet sound. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, and following, we see thunder, lightning, presentation of Jesus Christ. And all of us are fully aware of Exodus 21, 6, and Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Slaves, ears pierced with an awl. It's amazing to me to be able to see that when you come to the New Testament, we have an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to suffer, to bleed, to die, to be buried, to come forth out of the grave, and to be triumphant over sin, death, hell, all because of God's plan of salvation for you and me. Could I tell you again? Jesus is found in every book of the Bible. Jesus is found specifically in the Old Testament, and that's where we're studying now. But could I tell you again that Jesus is found in the book of Exodus, and we've only seen a tiny part of it today. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Wow, how fantastic it is for us to see the beautiful teachings of the Word of God in relationship to salvation through the person of Jesus Christ. The closing moments of our service are designed for one specific magnificent reason, and that's for people to see that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way of salvation than through the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is willing to leave heaven's glory, come to the earth, go to the cross, and die for your sins and mine. He was crucified. He was willing to give his life totally for you and me. He was buried. He came forth out of the grave, triumphant over sin, death, hell, and the grave. He sits at the Father's right hand at this very moment, and he will save any person who will believe. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? You shall be saved. I didn't say that. God's Word says that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Do you folks realize how powerful that is? Do you realize what God has done for you and for me when he was willing to give his Son? Do you realize how great it is that Jesus was willing to give everything for your salvation? And we are responsible for accepting that wonderful plan of redemption. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he, what? Give them life, life everlasting. So wherever you are, whatever your condition is today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you at this very moment to accept him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful indeed for the fact that you've given us so much. You were willing to give everything that we might be the recipients of life everlasting. We pray that there will be those at this very moment who will trust you as their own personal Lord and Savior. And we thank you that you're in the saving business. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so or maybe so, or you won't know until you die. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Father, thank you that you are in the saving business, and anyone at this very moment who will trust you as their personal Lord and Savior can know without doubt that heaven is their eternal home. They have salvation based upon what God has done through Jesus Christ for them. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.